Shavua Tov. I hope everyone is healthy and safe. So I don't like, as people who know me know, I don't like lecturing. I get bored. So I prefer there to be like some back and forth, but I have to make sure that we also get through the stuff in the shiur. So maybe what we'll do is maybe we'll use like the chat thingy while I'm speaking as a good place to pose questions or possible answers, which I think is a good compromise. Okay. So the topic I wanted to take up, it's actually, most of it is a Gemara. It's actually a very well-known Gemara. And for those who understand this way of learning, so really going to get into I'd say the conceptual underpinnings of how of what Tisha B'Av actually is, and as you'll see, what do you call it? As we get into the Gemara, there's a lot of important questions that come up insofar as what's the basis for fasting today, how the Gemara saw these unique fast days. And as we get into it, you'll see it may challenge some of our preconceived notions about how these fast days work. And when I refer to the fast days, for now, I'm going to take in this Gemara, because this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to take the Gemara's attitude towards the fast days, which at first equates them. And we're talking about Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. So those are the four fast days we're going to be focusing on and eventually culminate with Tisha B'Av. Of course, the Gemara in Tainis goes into a lot more detail about Tisha B'Av, with a lot of the various halachic requirements that over the years, assuming various halachic requirements that apply to Tisha B'Av that are different than other fast days. But for now, we're going to go into it with that approach. And as I always ask in these types of situations, it's so critical that we remove our preconceived notions and what we do today. Today, Tisha B'Av has a certain character to it, especially dominated by a lot of minhagim, which aren't bad. But it's important to take a step back and kind of get a sense of how the Gemara and the Rishonim saw Tisha B'Av, and we'll see what we can make of it. Okay, so the conversation in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah starts as follows. The Mishnah tells us that there were shluchim that were sent out throughout the year, ostensibly to let people who lived outside of Yerushalayim know when certain Yom Tovim were going to take place. So once they were able to determine when Rosh Chodesh was, so then they would send out these shluchim to inform people of the various holidays that are coming up. So one of them, and right in source number one, is it said the Mishnah says Al Shisha Chodashim Shluchim Yotzin Al Nisan Mipnei Pesach. Okay, and then Al Av Mipnei Tainis. Okay, and then the next one is Al Elo Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. So what you see is that Tisha B'Av has a important place in halacha, because it's one of the only six times that we send shluchim out to tell people that of the upcoming day. All right, so the Mishnah clearly tells us that they would send shluchim out for Tisha B'Av. Okay, and then Rashi explains Ve'al Av Mnei Tainis, all right, V'holchin Kol Shmonas Yomim Chus Mnei Shabbos, and they would travel all 8 of those days except for Shabbos itself. So we know that Tisha B'Av has some sort of unique place in halacha that shluchim will be sent out to tell people. Okay, so let's take up source number three. We'll come back. Source number two is the source in Zechariah, which we'll get to from the Gemara, but the Gemara tells us as follows, and I tried to break the Gemara up into components because we're going to analyze each one. So Gemara asks an obvious question. The Gemara says, well, one second. If you're going to tell me you're going to send them out for Tisha B'Av, v'lifgunami atamuz v'teves. So one second, let's ignore Tzom Gedalia for the time being. So why not send them out also for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves? Right? So automatically, you see the Gemara is, in this Havamina, and this question, the Gemara is treating Tisha B'Av no differently. It's saying that, well, I don't understand. If you're going to send out shluchim to remind people, to let people know when Tisha B'Av is taking place, so why won't you do the same thing for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Teves? They're also fast days. Okay, so at this point, the Gemara seems to be equating them. The Amar of Chana bar Bizna Amar of Shimon Chasida, Mai Dichsiv Kol Mar Shem Tzvakos, which I'm, that pasuk's right on top of you. Tzom Arvi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asir Yela Beis Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha. So this is referring to, it's actually broken up over two prakim, but basically there's a question posed to the Navi, Ha'edke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, and the answer is, among many different answers, one of them is that these four fast days, and I'm not going to get to all the historicity behind them, but these four fast days, Tzom Revi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asiri, so in the future, right, and that's also going to be, we're going to explain what that is, but they're going to actually be celebratory days, holidays, L'Satzon Simcha, Ulumadim Tovim, okay? So all that tells us is that in other words, it's what that pasuk is revealing to us is not only the fact that these fast days have a very early source, right, but also that there's some other bizarre aspect to these fast days, as the Gemara says, Kari Lahu Tzom, the Kari Lahu Sasan Vesimcha. Now the Gemara is bothered because the pasuk is saying something that doesn't make any sense on the surface. The pasuk's telling us that these are fast days, okay, but they're also celebratory days, okay? How could you have an idea of a fast day also being a celebratory day? Because the Gemara takes it up as a possibility. Remember, that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, Tzom Revi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asiri, Yele Beis Yudel, Sason Simcha. So it sounds like these days are going to be converted. They're going to be, or inverted, if you will. They're going to become something else entirely. They're going to become days of happiness, okay? So what kind of idea is that? What does it mean to say that there is, a day that is its own, but also is a day of Sason HaSimcha? Now, how is that possible? Okay, we're not going to answer that yet. Hold on. So the first thing we're going to have to understand, which we'll come back to, is there's what's bothering the Gemara here, this idea that that the Navi is presenting these fast days as somehow also being days of Sason HaSimcha, which seems to be a stira, okay? Which seems to be a stira. Yes, there is. That's a great question. There is an element of Simcha in Yom Kippur. Absolutely. Yom Kippur is a moed. It's a yantiv. Absolutely. Just because Yom Kippur is a solemn day, meaning a person is involved in Shuvah, doesn't mean it's a sad day. It is not a sad day at all. That's a misconception. It's a serious day. But inui does not mean sad. It's a much different idea. Okay, so now the Gemara pivots back and says, okay, well, we'll give you a possible answer. Bizman shiye shalom yulusasano simcha. Ain shalom tzom. I'm not going to get into Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel yet, but for now, let's just understand literally what it means is that, well, in times where we're in a time of peace, okay, then these days are celebratory. But when we're not in a time of peace, then these days are fast days, okay? So now it gets even more bizarre because first the Gemara wants to tell us that there's no way that these days can somehow have a dual expression of Tzom and Simcha. That's just absurd. But the implication from Zechariah was that the days would be converted, okay? Now what the Gemara is telling you is that no, that when there are times of Shalom, then there are celebratory days, and when they're, not Shalom, they're fast days, okay? So what kind of formulation is that? How do you have a day where it's circumstantial? How could such a thing exist, okay? Yes, Asher, that would be and the Moshe Mashiach, let's say certainly by the times of the third base of Mikdash. But here the Gemara is saying, it's saying forget that. The Gemara is saying in general, okay, any time that we are existing in a time of Shalom, we don't fast, we celebrate. But when it's not a time of Shalom, it becomes a fast day. So already you sense there's an interesting concern that Chazal have, okay? Yes, Abigail, that's correct. It's interesting. What's bothering Chazal here? Chazal, we'll get to that in a second, Sean. Chazal do not want to give up on these fast days. Now you could argue it comes from the Navi, okay? But Chazal, for whatever reason why, it's like they'd rather not obliterate these days, okay? They'd rather say that no matter what happens, there is some type of reality that still would exist with these days. In other words, what you should say is that, okay, well, listen. Shiva Sarva Tammuz, right? Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So we don't have to fast anymore, right? But the day should disappear. It should disappear from our historical record. There should be no halachic mandate to do anything on that day. And if you want, and you got to be careful, because this isn't like Pesach. Pesach has Kedusha Sayom. Whereas Pesach means the very character of the day itself has changed as a result of the Yontif. Yontif changes what the day is, right? Is Yisra Malacha. But that's not what these fast days are, okay? That's not where these fast days. You'll see where the base of Mikdash comes from. That's not what these fast days are. These fast days are commemorating certain, let's say, tragedies, right? And we fast as a result of that. So what you should think is that when we're in a time of happiness, so there's no need anymore to do anything. So why is it necessary to convert them over to Sasana Simcha? Why not just say that whatever that barometer is, that we don't have to fast anymore, right? Let's call it Shalom. Don't say Yul Sasana Simcha. Just say they're done. That's it. There's no need to fast anymore. There's no need to celebrate. There's no need to have a day. The day only has meaning when, let's say, we're in a bad period of time. But if we're not in a bad period of time, the day loses meaning, its entire meaning. And yet, you see that they're trying to hang on to some type of idea that these days will still continue to exist, that there'll be Sasana Simcha. So the question is why? Why should that be the case? Okay? Now, the Gemara is still not satisfied. It still doesn't like this idea because if it's true that Yeh L'Sasana Simcha Ein Shalom Tzom, so then the question is, so then why not send out Shluchim? Right? Why not send out the messengers for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis? They should go after them also. So now the Gemara says, I promise you, we'll come back and explain all this, but the Gemara now says, Amar Papa, Hachi Kamar. This is how you read it. Okay, now we get another qualification here, another modifier. The Gemara says, Bizmanshi Shalom, Yula Sasana Simcha. Okay, so when it's a time of Shalom, which we haven't explained what that is yet, okay, whatever that means, Yula Sasana Simcha. So during that period of time, these days will be happy days. Okay, so whatever Shalom means, during that period of time, celebratory days. Yesh Shmud. Okay, so let's say, using the normative explanation, let's say things are bad for us. We're under the sovereignty of, an evil non-Jewish ruler, all right? Then we would fast, okay? So, and Ein Shmud ve'Ein Shalom. So now you have like this medium, okay? Which again, this is a very convoluted type of a formulation. But the Gemara is saying is that if it's good times, we celebrate. If it's bad times, we fast. If it's neither, okay, Ein Shmud ve'Ein Shalom, and don't ask me what the barometer is for Ein Shmud ve'Ein Shalom yet, right? Whatever that is, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. Well, this is even worse, because now if the Gemara all along is trying its best to say that these days should have relevance no matter what, okay, no matter what, we should be doing something on those days, but the Gemara now is pivoting and saying not so fast. It's only if these two extremes exist that these days have a reality. But if it's a period of time where it's not Shmud or not Shalom, we'll call it neutral time, so then you don't have to fast. Okay, so that's very odd. Why would they formulate the Titus in such a way? In other words, again, the Gemara just spent time trying to convince us that no matter what happens, these fast days, right, are relevant. Or I should say fast days. These days have a permanent relevancy, meaning it doesn't matter what period of time it is, you're going to be doing something on those days. Now the Gemara says, not so fast. The Gemara says, no, you know what? It depends. If it's good time, you do something. If it's bad time, you do something. But if it's neither, you don't have to do anything. So that's a very odd formulation. On top of that, of course, is the more obvious question, which is, what do you mean, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin? Since when do we let people decide on their own to fast? What kind of thing is that? You mean like this year I'm in the mood to, next year I'm not? Well, what kind of a halachic structure is that? Especially if you're trying to tell me that this day has a permanent relevance. So then how can you leave it optional? All right, that doesn't make any sense. And if the person's not Misanin on that day, what is he doing? Nothing. You wouldn't even know it was the importance of the day. So that's also a very funny answer. Okay? Okay, finally, okay, and then we'll start picking this apart. Now the Gemara says, okay, fine. You've made a compelling case. Okay? You made a compelling case that, what do you call that? That now we'll have to explain why, right? But you made a compelling case that now you wouldn't send Shluchim out. Why wouldn't you send messengers out for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis? So the answer is very simple. The answer is because ultimately there's going to be a period of time where not everybody's fasting. So if that period of time exists where not everybody's fasting, so we won't send Shluchim out. Now, of course, we have to answer the question, why should that matter? In other words, again, if these days have permanent relevance, then you should always send Shluchim out. But the Gemara is saying that if there's going to be a period of time where fasting is optional, right, so then that removes the idea of Shluchim having to go out. Question is why? But let's take the Gemara's word for it. At the end of the day, the Shluchim don't go out because they only go out on days where everybody would fast or everybody would celebrate. And since this type of day is one where there could be a period of time where not everybody's engaged in celebrating or fasting, then Shluchim don't go out, okay? But remember, all along, the Gemara was treating Tisha B'Av no differently than the other three fast days. So now the Gemara is going to reverse back again and say, well, one second, you've made a very compelling argument why you don't send out shluchim for Shivas Arba Tammuz and Asar B'Teves. Now, what about Tisha B'Av? There's meaning Tisha B'Av should also fall into the category of Ratzu Misanin and Ratzu Emisanin, right? Again, Tisha B'Av is no different in character at this point than the other fast days. So if that's true, and there would be a period of time, again, at this point, where the people would not necessarily celebrate Tisha B'Av, right? Ratzu Misanin and Ratzu Emisanin. So why send out shluchim for Tisha B'Av? Okay? So finally, the Gemara says, Amar Apapa, shiny Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av's different, okay? Hoel the Huchfulu Bo Tsaros, okay? Because now we have to translate this very carefully, okay? Because Kefil has many different interpretations. But in a simple level, it means lots of bad things happened on that day, okay? It wasn't just one bad thing, it was lots of bad things. Damar Mar, B'Tisha B'Av, Charav Abayis Barishono Vushnia, as we all know, that the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The Nilkod HaBeisar, V'Nechash Ha'ir. And you had the famous tragedy and massacre by Beitar. And also, the idea of Nechash Ha'ir is that the city, the area of the Beis HaMikdash was plowed over, post-destruction. Okay? So the Gemara's answer is that why would Tisha B'Av be different? Okay? It'd be different because many different sorrows took place on that day. Now, you have to read between the lines. Therefore, what's implied by the Gemara is that because there's Huchfulu Bot Saros, so you never really have an idea of Ratzu Misanin and Ratzu Emisanin, meaning everybody always fasted for Tisha B'Av, okay? It's a good question whether Bizman Shiye Shalom Yul Sason L'Simcha, that's an excellent question, but ultimately, what the Gemara's conclusion is that since lots of bad things happen on this day, so that's why, we go ahead and say that everyone accepted the fast. Notice something else, which is also critical. Notice that it's insufficient to say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Meaning, what you could argue is you could say, well, one second, what makes Tisha B'Av different? That's the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So that should be enough of a reason to make Tisha B'Av, we'll get to that, Sean, that's Tosfos' question. You know what, I'll say that in a second, Sean. What you should say at this point is that Tisha B'Av is really, the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That should be the reason why you would treat Tisha B'Av differently, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara interestingly tells us that it's because lots of bad things happened on that day. Now, Sean jumped right in, which is what the last Tosfos we're going to do today takes up, which is that, well, one second. As we all know, the Gemara openly says that many different things happen on Shivas Arba Tammuz as well, in the Gemara's rendition of it. Okay, so we're going to come back to that, to understanding what makes Tisha B'Av different than Shivas Arba Tammuz. Okay? That's the Gemara. Okay? That's the Gemara. Before I go on, cards on the table. I know that there's a certain bias that we have that there could be nothing worse than the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But notice that, again, the Gemara at this point, what it could have said was one second, Amar Mar, B'Tisha B'Av Charva Bayis B'Rishon V'Shnia. That should be sufficient, right? What do you need lots of tragedies for? Did you just say the worst possible tragedy took place, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? There's nothing worse than that. Again, my bias is on the table. If you look at the kinos, it's clear that, that's the case. How do we measure tragedy here? That's a good question. I'm trying to keep Megillas Tainus out of this. There are many different tragedies that took place in Jewish history where there were fast days instituted, but none like these, okay? Meaning these are the only ones certainly alluded to by the Navi, these are the only ones that have more of a sense of permanence. But it's a good question how we actually measure tragedy. Okay, so let's start with the first question. I don't know. That's a good question, Abigail. That's a phenomenal question. I do not know. I do not know at this. I mean, at this point, okay. If you just saw the Gemara on its own, why would you think that more tragedy should make any difference? Okay, and how would that have any effect halachically? Okay, how would that have any effect halachically? Yes, there's no question that the tragedies on all of the four fast days, right? They all in some way relate to the Beis HaMikdash. No question about it. And I'm not taking away from that aspect of it. But mimanavshach. Whereas if you're going to tell me that you could argue that there's a big difference between surrounding the city versus to saying the actual Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But you see, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. Okay? All right, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll get to Tisha B'Av, okay? Let's take a step back and let's start with the beginning of the Gemara. Okay? Because the first point the Gemara raises is a very, very important point, which is the idea in which we have to answer, which is, how can you have a day like a Tainus? Well, actually, I got to stop saying that. How can you have a commemoration of an historical event, okay, where it could have an expression as tzom, but it could also have an expression as sasana simcha? What kind of idea is that? I mean, how is that possible? That doesn't make any sense, because if a tzom is commemorating a tragedy, right? So what kind of idea is it to say that, okay, well, it's a tragedy, but at the same time, it could also be an expression of happiness? Well, what exactly is the celebration? And that's the first step we have to understand the next steps in the Gemara. There's the first thing we have to understand is, what does it mean to say that, how do we have an idea of tolerating a coexistence of a tzom and a sasana simcha? Remember, we have to think a little abstractly here. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't convert over. It means in the very character of the day itself exists both an expression of tzom and an expression of happiness. But those are contradictory ideas. So how could that be? So what exactly, that's the first point we need to understand. What does it mean to say that these days are both, can be tzom and can be sasana simcha, right? And the first step in the Gemara, what kind of thing is that? So what would you say? The essential idea of a yom tzom, okay, or a tainis, it's true that we do fast, okay? Although, Eli, I'd argue that in these days, they're all commemorating tragedies. It's not a coincidence that you know, in other words, Chazal aren't misakin a fast day. What are Chazal misakin fast days? We don't have rain, right? That's the normal tainis tzibor. And here, right, to commemorate a tragedy. So there's no question that the idea of fasting because of a tragedy is a normative idea in halacha. But you're right, the most important aspect of a tainis, right, is it as it's a catalyst to tshuva. As the Rambam famously says, it's darchi tshuva. The idea of a tainis is really something that brings us into a state of tshuva, of repenting, okay? That's the ultimate goal. It's not about the not eating part. That's privation from the instinctual world is a very important factor in awakening us to do tshuva. But that really is the goal of a tainis. A tainis is to get us to do tshuva, okay? So if that's the case, if it's to get us to do tshuva, so then why would it, I can argue why naturally, right, the day could both be a tzom in one situation and be sasan and simcha in another situation. Why would that be the case? What would it be about it that, what would the sasan and simcha be when it comes to the tainis? And again, I shouldn't even use the word tainis. I should say a commemorating day, okay? There's normally we commemorate the day by not eating, right? And certainly that means it's a catalyst to tshuva. And if the very underlying idea of the yom is always to be a catalyst for tshuva, then what does it mean to say that it'd be, sasan simcha? Exactly, right? So that's what I think. I think Ellie's correct. In other words, what you'd be celebrating is the fact that I think, Sean, you mentioned before the idea of divine justice. I would say that the idea of commemorating a tragedy is functions as a catalyst to tshuva, because we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us has been strained, right? So we must engage in tshuva to help repair that relationship. Now, what's the greatest expression of the repair of that relationship, right? We'll get to Shalom in a second, but on this, just in the purely conceptual level, we're in a state where it's clear, so to speak, that our tshuva worked, right? And if we succeeded in tshuva, we should celebrate such a thing. So if you hold the underlying idea of the yom itself is really tshuva, okay, so then I can make an argument to say that, well, tshuva can have two types of expressions. One expression is that our relationship with God is in a bad state, so we must fast and therefore do tshuva. And when things are good, which we'll get to what that means in a second, but when things are good, yelo sasan simcha. So then we should celebrate. We should celebrate because it shows that our tshuva worked. The Beis HaMikdash, let's use the simple explanation. The Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. We should celebrate such a thing. We should celebrate the fact that through being engaging in tshuva, we were able to restore our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, evidenced in the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. Again, I'm not saying that's what the Gemara means at this point, but it's just an easy way to look at it, okay? Difference between fasting for tainis by a plague versus something like this is that a plague is not a discrete historical event. In other words, here, a plague means that there's a period of time where the Jewish people are suffering, right? Here, we're talking about something happened, right? A bad thing happened to the Jewish people in the sense of, let's say, they surrounded the Beis HaMikdash, right? Or let's say by Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So now there's an idea of commemorating that. In other words, we fast to commemorate that idea, all right? that's different than saying a plague. A plague is where right now, because we're in a plague state, we have to do tshuva. Here, we're saying something took place already, right? It's true that there's a constant reminder of that being the case. Let's assume it's, we don't have the base of Mikdash. But the point is that the idea is that built into the very character of the day itself, since it's one that's set up for tshuva, so there could be an idea where you celebrate the fact that our tshuva worked. But that would only come about if there's a reversal of that state, meaning you went from a negative to a positive. I don't think the removal of the plague is necessarily a positive. But so that would make sense. So if you say that, that could make sense. Very, that's a very nice idea as a conceptual understanding of a tainus, of a tzom, being a catalyst for tshuva. Okay? But the problem is that on a practical halakhic level, right, you can never have both things coexisting. Right? You can never have an idea that on one day you could be both fasting and celebrating. Okay? We'll get to Tisha B'Av. Hold on. Slow. So you got to go step by step here. So what the Gemara struggles with at this point, and this is where it gets into this circumstantial business, is the Gemara is saying, fine, you want to give me this nice phenomenon that inside the very nature of these types of days, it, since they're a catalyst for tshuva, so you see that you could have a phenomenon of both of fasting, which means that we need to do tshuva, versus celebrating because our tshuva is successful. That's all well and good. But at the end of the day, there's just no practical way that you could ever have a phenomenon that halakhically, that the day itself could function both at Tzom and Susam and Simcha. They could never coexist on a halakhic level because you could never have an idea of celebrating while fasting. That'd be absurd. You can work out in the abstract some sort of nice idea that in discrete expressions such phenomenon can exist, but it would be impossible, it would be absurd to ever say that on the very Yom itself, I could experientially somehow one day fast and celebrate. That's of course an impossibility, right? Halachically, right? You can't have a chi of tzom and a chi of sasam v'simcha. That you can't have. You can have a chi of inoy, but not a chi of tzom. Okay, especially this type of chi of tzom. So the Gemara now says, and that's what the Gemara is reflecting, because the Gemara now says, bizman shi yesh shalom yilu sasam v'simcha, ein shalom tzom. So now the Gemara introduces this idea of, well, now it's circumstantial, meaning that when is a time of shalom, okay, it's you celebrate. When is a time of tzom, okay, then you still fast, okay? So what do you call it? So now the question is what does shalom mean? What does shalom mean? Okay, we'll get to how it could be circumstantial in a second, but what does shalom even mean? Okay, so Rashi says, sheyei shalom. Rashi says, she'ein yad hagoyim tkifa al Yisrael. So he holds, what does shalom mean? It means that we're not under the sovereignty of non-Jews. Okay, when we're sovereign, okay, then what do you call it? We celebrate these days. Whereas Rabbi Nachman says no. He says bizman sheyesh shalom, klomar kol zman shebeis hamikdash kayam yiyeh l'sason l'simcha. So Rabbi Nachman argues and says that's not what shalom means. Shalom can only refer to the existence of the beis hamikdash, right? So now you have an interesting machlokas, which will now open up what do you call it? How we understand this area as a whole, okay? So we use this machlokas as a stepping stone. But in other words, first we have to understand what's the idea to say that is circumstantial. What does it mean to say that in this period of time it's A, in that period of time it's B? Well, how do we understand that idea on a deeper level? Okay. And then you have this machlokas. What does shalom even mean? Does shalom mean as long as the Beis HaMikdash is around, it's celebratory? Or Rashi's way of learning, which seems to be a much more difficult way of learning on the surface. And if you ask me the simple way of learning, I'd say, yeah, what shalom means? Shalom means the Beis HaMikdash is around. But he says, no, he says it's based on sovereignty. So the question is, well, why should that be the standard? It was, what is sovereignty? What is our lack of sovereignty? What does that have anything to do with whether we should fast or not? What I should say is that it should really be based on the Beis HaMikdash. I think that's a better argument. But on a deeper level, what is this idea now halakhically of what were they trying to do with this fast day? Again, they're trying to hang on for dear life that these days don't get obliterated, right? Because naturally they should go away. What you should say is, in a time of shalom, we don't do anything, okay? But they don't want that to happen. They want these days to still continue to exist and to somehow have discrete halakhic expressions. So what's that idea? And what's the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel? I mean, it would seem like Rabbeinu Chananel is the easier way to go. That we should just say is at the end of the day, yes, what's the greatest expression of shalom? We have the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is not around. You can understand why you would still fast, but why you should fast during that period of time. But what does it mean to say, obviously this is after the first base of Mikdash, but what does it mean to say that it's when we don't have sovereignty? Why should not having sovereignty be that issue? You have to keep something in mind. We know the next step in the Gemara is going to give us this business of Ratzu Misanin and Ratzu Emisanin. If that's true, that means there has to be some reality of a day existing, right? Something that exists, right? But yet you have this optional idea whether or not they want to fast. But it's not that during times of no Shmud or no Shalom that there's no idea of Shiva Sarvatamos, because then that would make no sense at all. It couldn't be that Shiva Sarvatamos disappears during times of no Shmud and no Shalom. So what's the idea of saying, going back from what I was saying before, what's the next step to stay here insofar as the nature of these days? It's a good question what the nature of this character Shalom is. That's a good question. But let's take one more step, okay? Which I think helps understand this machlokas, okay? So what there's the Gemara doesn't want there. Remember, in the Havin in the Gemara, right? The Gemara says Kari Lahu Tzom, Kari Lahu Sasana Simcha, which would seem to imply that in the very nature of the day itself, what do you call it? in the very nature of the day itself, okay, that both of these things could be expressed, okay? But like I said before, do you see how luckily it's going to come out that what do you have? You have, what do you call it? Let's say in 2019, it's Sason HaSimcha, and 2020, it's Tzom, okay? So, but no matter what, something's happening on those days. Again, before we get to Rav Papa, something's always happening on those days, okay? There's always some reality of something taking place, okay? So what does that show us? Okay, what does it show us about it? So you would never say that, and again, it's similar to what I was saying before, but I think it puts it into more halachic, more of a halachic concept of what tzom is, okay? In other words, we know that what brought these days into existence halachically? Tragedy, right? A certain tragedy took place. Let's say the walls of the base of Mikdash, they broke through, right? So that's a tragedy. So everyone would agree that initially the day is set up as commemorating a tragedy, and therefore it starts off as tzom. Okay, it starts off as fasting. Okay, and that again, that's definitely a catalyst for tshuva, but it starts off as fasting. Okay, so building on what we were saying before. Okay, so what would I be celebrating on a halachic level? Okay, not forget the tshuva stuff. That's a very nice, almost to say philosophical idea. But on a halachic level, what would the if I'm in a state of shalom before we get to what shalom is? If I'm in a state of shalom, okay, what am I celebrating? Again, this is looking now that they didn't want it, that the day always has some relevance. And now the only question is, what do I do on that day? Okay? So how could Tzom have an idea of Sason and Simcha in it? What would the Sason and Simcha be? I think the answer would be simple. In other words, just like we said before, that originally the Gemara wanted to say that the underlying idea, no, but forget the tshuva idea. The tshuva idea is really, you could argue the tshuva idea allows for a coexistence of both in the yom. But the Gemara doesn't want to say that. The Gemara wants to say that and this time it's A and this time it's B, meaning year to year it could change its character, okay? So the question is, what does it mean it can change its character? Meaning, I want to take the idea by tshuva before and bring it into the idea of tzom. Meaning, what are you celebrating? I mean, again, it's not right, exactly, right. So what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating on a year, let's say, of when you have shalom? What's the celebration for, right? Especially, let's say, according to what do you call it? According to Rashi's way of learning, forget why sovereignty. What exactly are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? It's a simple question. What would you be celebrating during that year? So what would you say? So think about it. Again, in other words, tragedies, well, not, I wouldn't say the lack of the reason that caused it so, okay? I would say that, what do you call it? That once, in other words, if we're in a state of shalom, what are Chazal saying? Again, they want to save this day. They want to say that this day has a perpetual relevance, okay? So before we get to the neutral period of time, what the Gemara is saying at this point is, in order to ensure this day has perpetual relevance, right? What we're going to say is that, well, what are you celebrating? Well, if we're in a time of shalom, right, there's no chiyuv tzom anymore, right? So the only thing you could possibly celebrate is the very fact that the chiyuv tzom ceases to exist, meaning that tzom is something where, again, it does reflect on tshuva, But that's more of a concept. That's more of a philosophical idea. On a halachic level, what you could say is that once a mechayev at tzom is removed, so then naturally speaking, you have sason asimcha, right? That should be the natural. That will be the natural result of removing the state of tzom. Okay, meaning that it's in other words, really every year I'm chayev to fast. Okay, meaning ultimately that's what a tainus is. I'm chayev to fast every year. But what happens, right? What happens on a year of shalom? So in the year of shalom, then the chiyuv of tzom is removed. And that the removal of the chiyuv of tzom automatically produces a chiyuv sason asimcha. So what I would say is taking the more philosophical idea of tshuva and putting it to more of a halachic level, we'll get to optional. What I would say is that what happens, the removal of one, right, produces produces an automatic chiyuv of the other. Okay? That's what you would think at this point in the Gemara. Okay? No, because you had a chiyuv tzom. In other words, normally you'd shivas arba tamas, I have to fast. Okay? But now what the Gemara is saying is that, but one second, but the very fact I don't have to fast, right, will produce a obligation to celebrate. Oh, because the reason why is that they want to keep this day intact. You see, in other words, if there's nothing, then the day disappears, right? If there's nothing anymore, in other words, if we're in a state of shalom, and you say there's nothing, then what would happen to shivas arba tamas? It would disappear, right? You can never have an idea of once the day is removed, okay, from anything, it would just naturally go away. So the Gemara at this point, before our Papa, the Gemara is saying at this point, what would you say? You would say that, well, the removal of one by definition produces a positive of the other. And this way, Chazal can ensure that no matter what happens, there will always be a remembrance of this day. Okay, that's what I'm positing at this point, okay? Let me go, whatever, that's a separate issue. Why is remembering the day important? That's a good question. We'll get to that. That's a good question, why that's important. But the point is that a tragedy happened on this day, and as a result, Chazal want that day to always be, again, historically, part of our mindset. So what do? They formulate it in a way where, halachically speaking, there's a chiyuv tzom, and once the mechayiv tzom ceases to exist, that by definition produces a chiyuv sason asimcha. We don't have to fast anymore. We're celebrating the fact we don't have to fast. Okay? But the Gemara doesn't like this. Because the Gemara now says, well, one second, if that were true, if that were really the case, then you would have to send shluchim out, okay? You'd have to send shluchim out no matter what. So again, if you're telling me that in order to ensure that the day always exists, the chiyuv always has to exist as well, and the only way to build the chiyuv is to say that you have a chiyuv tzom, and then when the chiyuv tzom ceases to exist, there can't be nothing, right? There has to be a chiyuv sason asimcha. I mean, there's never a period of time where chiyuv doesn't come into existence. But the chiyuv sason asimcha is built off of tzom, meaning the lack of tzom means, by definition, there's a chiyuv sason asimcha. No, I would say like this. I'd say they're dealing with a unique phenomenon here. What they're dealing with is that they're, and this is what makes it so tricky. They're not creating a kedusha sayom, right? There's no idea like that. There's no isra malacha. They can't do that, right? They want us to do tshuva. And they wanted to do tshuva for this tragedy. There was a tragedy that took place, Shivas Arba Tamas, it's a tragic thing. And they want to ensure the Jewish people, right, remember that tragedy, right? But it's not just enough to remember something, right? It has to always go back to being a catalyst to tshuva. No offense to Yom HaShoah, okay? There is no idea in halacha of just having a day of commemoration. There has to be some deeper idea to attach to. So what did Chazal do? They said, okay, well, one second. We'll use the idea of tzom. I mean, what we'll say is that since what happened was a bad thing, we're going to have people fast. And in doing so, that'll be a catalyst to tshuva. Okay? But the problem is that, again, going back in the Gemara, the problem is that we see this idea that they're going to be converted into sason asimcha, which would seem to indicate that they didn't want it to ever be a situation where these days weren't celebrated. When I say celebrate, I don't mean just happy. I mean, meaning there has to be some type of halachic phenomenon taking place in these days. So here's the problem. The problem is that, okay, well, there shouldn't be a mandate to always fast because in times of shalom, there's no reason to fast. But if there's no reason to fast and you don't do anything, what's going to happen to these days? They will disappear. Okay, so again, they can't create a true halachic yom. A tainus is not a halachic yom. It's not even like Hanukkah and Purim, where there's an Isser Hesped There's an Isser Hesped. It's not like that. These are days where there is a historical commemoration, but that's not enough alone to create a chiyuv. So the chiyuv must be rooted in tzom, and tzom is rooted in tshuva. But what they want to say is that we can't say that these days will cease to exist during times of shalom, right? There's no need, there's no reason for, well, I shouldn't say that. They want to make sure that these days still have some type of relevance. So the only way to do that is to say, you know what? By there not being a chiyuv tzom, by definition, it means the chiyuv sasan and simcha. That is the natural outgrowth of the day in their mindset. And this way, these days will always be celebrated no matter what. Every year, you're going to be doing something on Shiva Sarva Tammuz. Either you're going to be fasting because we need there's tshuva time, or you're going to be not fasting, which means that tshuva worked, which means it's a time for celebration. But there'll never be a period of time where these days will ever cease to exist. Yosef, that's the Gemara Yerushalmi. Let's push that to the side. We're just doing the Bavli right now. All the Rishonim take up the issue by the Yerushalmi of 9th versus 17th. Okay? So that's a separate question of those days. Hold on. No, I would say that initially they built it into the Tzom itself. I'd say initially they built into the Tzom this idea that Simcha could emerge. Okay? And the Gemara is going through this painstaking process to show you how they did that. Okay? But what I would say is that, in other words, just because that's built into the character of the day, halachically speaking, it depends on what period of time you live in. In other words, you can never say Avigail, you would never say that on Shiva Sarva Tammuz, right, that I can both fast and celebrate. That doesn't make any sense. But what you can say is that based on whatever circumstance you're in will determine the natural expression of whatever type of day it should be. But Shiva Sarva Tammuz would always exist. That you'd have to agree to. It's just a question of what's the nature of the celebration? Is it a fasting celebration, therefore tshuva time? Or is it a happy type of celebration, meaning our tshuva worked? Either way, those expressions can always come into existence depending on the year, depending on the circumstance. But the circumstance can produce that result. That's exactly the point. The commemoration will always exist. But there's never a halachic idea of commemoration alone. That's the point. You can never have an idea of commemorating and then leaving it as is. Halacha doesn't work that way. We don't just remember events. There has to be some type of halachic phenomenon that's related to tshuva that'll come out, right? It's just not enough to commemorate something. We don't believe in such a thing. Zechira is not enough. Okay. So what's that? I'll come back to that. Okay. So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, okay, but the Gemara says that's insufficient. Because if that were true, then the shluchim should go out every single year for Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Asar B'Teves, right? I mean, now the Gemara's question is a wonderful question, because if you're telling me the day must always be expressed every year, no matter what, then why don't you send shluchim out? So now the Gemara makes a very difficult move, because the Gemara now says, no, you're right. Well, I'm sorry. We forgot to define the machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel. What's the machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel? Let's go back to that now. Rabbeinu Chananel says that Shalom means Beis HaMikdash is in existence. And Rashi says, no. Rashi says that it's when we don't have sovereignty. Okay? Whereas we don't have sovereignty, then we fast. When we have sovereignty, then we don't fast. Well, what kind of machlokas is that? So what would you say? Going back to that point, before I go on, what would you say about that? I think Ellie's right. Yeah. I think Ellie's right. In other words, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, right? So clearly the Beis HaMikdash is the greatest expression of tshuva possible, right? And there's no question that Somos, which all deal in some way with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what greater expression of tshuva than the Beis HaMikdash being in existence? Meaning as long as that Beis HaMikdash, again, referencing the second Beis HaMikdash, as long as that's around, so what, that's the greatest indication that we've done tshuva, right? So whereas I agree with Ellie when he says, I don't think it's any expression of tshuva, but I think that what is sovereignty? In other words, sovereignty is some real expression of tshuva. What is it about sovereignty? In other words, what does sovereignty demonstrate to us that you would say that I don't have to go ahead and have tzom, right? So what is it about sovereignty? What do you mean it's God's promise? In other words, obviously the easy approach is to obviously say that there's some idea of tshuva. What do you mean God's promise? Meaning what? Right. So what Ellie's getting at is that obviously here, what you'd have to say is that if we have sovereignty, so in other words, it's not just any expression of tshuva, but I would say is that it's reflecting of a certain state of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning the ultimate expression of good relationship with God is the Beis HaMikdash, right? Yes, Rachel, you're right. Sovereignty definitely gives us the potential to build the Beis HaMikdash, 100%. Without question. But it definitely means that insofar as the richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, there's been some type of significant repair. So it's not just, you're right, it's any expression of tshuva, but and you're right, there's no question that being sovereign in the scheme of things, that the final culmination of sovereignty will be the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But definitely, like Eli's saying, sovereignty reflects, if we have sovereignty, those are clear indicators that our tshuva has been successful. So it's a very compelling argument that Rashi's making to say that if we have sovereignty, right, it's a good reason why we should celebrate those days. Okay, so we just have to move a little bit now. So now Republic comes along and says, no, but now we have a problem. So why not send out the Shluchim, right? Why not send out the Shluchim for every fast day? Now the Gemara does something astonishing. Republic comes along and says, no, Bizman Shiye Shalom, I don't care how you want to learn Shalom, okay? Bizman Shiye Shalom, Yulusasana Simcha, Yeshmud Som. Okay, so when we're good times, celebratory. Bad times, fasting. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom, ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. What kind of thing is that? What do you mean when there's a neutral period of time, now fasting becomes optional? Well, 1 second. Wasn't the Gemara fighting tooth and nail to ensure that there's never a year of our lives where there isn't some type of celebration on that day, whether it be fasting or happy? That's what the Gemara seemed to want. But you see, the problem is that the Mishnah tells us that can't work because Shluchim would have to go out then for Shavuos, Arba Tammuz, and these other fast days, and they didn't. So the Gemara is almost saying, forget that. We can actually have a neutral period of time where it's optional whether people fast or not. What exactly does that mean? How could that be? What does it mean, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin? What kind of idea is that? How is it possible? Right? What's the Gemara trying to push across here? Okay. Well, I mean, in other words, again, what's the nature of the day then? I mean, how could it be that some years, theoretically, people wouldn't be fasting, right? But then what happens to the day? Or is that what seemed to contradict what I was saying all along? It would seem like if you're telling me that there'll be a year where people don't fast, they're not celebrating, they're not fasting either, right? So what happens to Shavuos, Arba Tammuz? It's nothing. It gets dropped from the calendar. Because if we don't do anything, then the very idea of the commemorative aspect of the day becomes lost. So what does it mean to say, Ein Shmud Vein Shalom, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin? Without even getting into the halachic mechanism of Ratzu Misanin means, right? We'll get to that in a second. Conceptually, what does that mean to say that it's optional? What does that even mean? And like the Paskin from a Gemara, right? So what does that tell us about today, right? I mean, today, why are we fasting on Shavuos, Arba Tammuz? What if I said, you know what? I don't want to fast Shavuos, Arba Tammuz this year. Ein Misanin. Would that be a problem? So what does that mean? What does it mean to say, what does it mean on a broader level, what does it mean to say that, it's optional? So what would you say about that? I think the better way to focus the question is, there is the Gemara now has to pivot. The Gemara went from Ein Shalom, right, to now Shmud, right? There's a big difference between the two. There's one thing about saying that we don't have a period of Shalom versus saying there's something called Shmud. Why are they saying that it's only when a time of Shmud that we're going to say you now have to fast? So let me ask you this. If you're telling me that in times of suffering, right, the Tzom, we have to fast, okay, there's a very important point Chazal or the Gemara is trying to get across here. Okay? In other words, really the Gemara wanted it to be Sasam Simcha versus Tzom, meaning that back and forth. Okay? okay, good. So, okay, because what's the Shmud doing? I think Alex is correct. In other words, if we're living in a time where we're oppressed, okay, so why did Chazal step in and say now that's when you fast? Okay? Because what you could argue is that, in other words, you see, and this is the hardest part, okay? But I think this is a necessary part. What Chazal recognizes that in order for these fast days to work, okay, it's not just enough to demand on the Jewish people to fast. Because remember, they're commemorating tragedies, right? But it's an interesting idea that Chazal, they want us to be in a state of suffering to then go ahead and fast. Okay? Meaning it's not enough just to say, I recall the tragedy of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, right? That would seem not to work for the Am. Rather, what would work for the Am it would seem like that what would work for the Am is that in order to ensure that the that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz actually has relevance, okay, that it actually has relevance, there has to be an active state of suffering in order to impose the tzom on the Jewish people, okay? In order for this commemorative type of thing to work at this point in the Gemara, it's not enough just to say you're chayav to fast every year, okay? Because the truth is that the fast, and I'm going to say this carefully, the fast has to work. It has to actually function to be able to get people to do tshuva. So it's an interesting thing. If you're going to tell me that during a time of shmud, right, that's when people have to fast, well, that would seem to indicate that it's only when there's an actual active state of suffering that now the catalyst for tshuva will now come into existence and that some can function. So if we're suffering, okay, if we're suffering, so then what's going to happen? Chazal will say, well, since you're suffering, so now fast and recognize, let's say the Ravina Chanal's approach, recognize that because you don't have the base of Mikdash, right, that's really what the underlying suffering is coming from. Okay, but without that active catalyst, excuse me, without that active state of suffering, so you could surmise that therefore there is no actual reason why people would fast. If that's true, so then I can understand, I can start getting an inkling of what Chazal's move here is, and I'm not going to get into today yet, what Chazal's move is. Meaning, what are they saying? They're saying that in truth, the fact is that in order for the fast to actually have an effect on people, okay, so now, I disagree, Dardik, and I was like this. This is where Chazal are going to split the Am, let's say, from the individual. What they're going to say is that they're going to say on a communal level, okay, the fact is that people aren't going to, in order for the fast day to work, okay, to really have an effect on people, it's not going to work to demand every single year that people fast in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Because the reality is that people aren't affected by it. They need something else happening, right? They need another, some other terrible period of time to exist in order for the fast day to have any impact on them. If that doesn't exist, it won't impact them, okay? So they want the idea of this to be, they want the tzom to be an impactful experience. They don't want people to just fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. They want to say that because that's not going to work because people won't do it. People are going to relate to the day and it's not going to be a catalyst to tshuva. But in order for it to be a catalyst, no. Just because you fast does not mean it's going to be a catalyst to tshuva. If we know that we're suffering, if we're in a state of suffering, then the fast day will, in a sense, work. Because then what we'll say is, we're already suffering. We're going to, on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we'll fast and we'll recognize that ultimately, the reason why we're suffering now is because we don't have the base of Mikdash, and if we did tshuva, we would, repair our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and bring about the base of Mikdash, okay? It's not that the tzom can only be impactful if we're suffering. What I'm saying is that for the average person, they require this positive state of suffering to be the catalyst for tshuva, okay? Yes, Ellie, it's definitely unique to Sad Fest, for sure. But in a time where it's neutral, the problem is that, in other words, for people to fast, right, on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, to obligate them to fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, when it's not a sad period of time, purposeless enterprise. Because at the end of the day, for people to fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, to just commemorate the day would be useless, okay? It only makes sense to fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz when it can function as a catalyst for tshuva. But here's the thing. For the average person, it won't function that way. So there's no reason for him to fast. But for, I'd say, like a high-level person who recognizes that the loss of the base of Mikdash is more than simply commemorating a tragedy, but really is the reason why we're in the state that we're in, right? Even though right now we're not in a state of Shemad or Shalom, but they recognize the lack of the base of Mikdash means there's a gap between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that person would fast. Okay, I think it's capturing the way people are. I don't want to say it's an emotional reality, but I think it's capturing the way the average person thinks. Meaning that ultimately, what Chazal recognizes that there would be no reason we can't impose a tiny tzibur on people. Okay, if there isn't something there that would nudge them, so to speak, to want to fast, to make the fast an actual a function the way it's supposed to function, okay? Because people don't do that, okay? People don't do that. Think about it today, okay? Oh, we'll get to that in a second by morning, okay? And they, but they didn't, one second, Chazal never imposed mourning on people during the Omer. They didn't do that. All Chazal never said that. All Chazal said was is that during this period of time, right, don't be super happy, right? Meaning, and what's that brought down the Gemara? That's only by the Gaonim, okay? They didn't impose practices of mourning. They didn't do that. That is a later development, right? The Gemara only talks about during this period of time, the Talmidei Chacham of Rebbe Akiva died. And then the Gaonim mentioned that, you know what? The minhag emerged that people didn't get married during that period of time. That's it. All the stuff we do today was developed much later on, much, much later on. I think the reason why is it's the same thing as here, okay? Is that the Chazal never want a purely commemorative event. Rather, what they want is that they want people to recognize that if you're going to fast in this day, it should be a catalyst to tshuva. But the problem is that when things aren't good or bad, when they're just neutral, so there is no natural, for the average person, naturally speaking, fasting on Shavuot, Arba Tammuz won't be a catalyst for tshuva. It only be a catalyst for tshuva when there's an actual positive state of oppression taking place. Then people will say, yes, things stink right now, so we want to engage in fasting. And they'll point to Shavuot, Arba Tammuz and see, oh, it's because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, that's exactly it. No, I agree, Tucker. That's exactly the point. There are subtle issues, right? And that's why the Chachamim, for Chachamim, they would always want to fast on Shavuot, Arba Tammuz, because they would recognize that for them it'd be a catalyst for tshuva. But I'd say for the average person, it doesn't work that way. And I think the proof is today. I mean, the fact is today, by Shavuot, Arba Tammuz, right, people do it, but do people really internalize it? I would say no. I would say that's exactly what Chazal didn't want. They don't want us to commemorate Shavuot, Arba Tammuz. They want the tinus to function as a catalyst for tshuva. And the problem is today, I certainly argue today, that for many people, right, it doesn't do it. They fast, but it's never a catalyst for tshuva, okay? And if that's the case, so then for this to survive, right, it won't survive for the average person. So that's why Chazal end up saying is that when it comes to Shavuot, Arba Tammuz, right, so, or these other, well, actually Tisha B'Av also, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, and I'll prove to you why this is the approach by the next move in the Gemara, when it comes to Tisha B'Av and all these other days, at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is that for most people, right, these days are not going to, are simply going to be historical events. And there's no reason to fast for a historical event. But if it's going to be a catalyst for tshuva, the problem is that in order for it to work, it would seem like you need a positive state of suffering for Chazal then to say, now the chiyuv can come into existence. But if that doesn't exist, if we're in a neutral period of time, so what's going to happen is that there's no way for them to impose the fast on them. You can only impose the tinus on the people, right, if it's going to actually have the desired effect. And I'd argue that what the Gemara is telling you is that during a neutral period of time, it won't have the desired effect. For the average person, they will never see Shavuot, Arba Tammuz. They'd say, yeah, I remember what happened during that period of time. But remembrance isn't sufficient. It has to be where the tinus is built into as a catalyst for tshuva. Okay? So I'm just running out of time. So the Gemara now says, but now what about Tisha B'Av? If that's true, then why send out for Tisha B'Av as well? Meaning Tisha B'Av should be a Ratzu Misan and Ratzu Emisan in business, okay? And meaning Tisha B'Av should be treated the same way. So what does Rav Papa say? Rav Papa says that Shani Tisha B'Av, Hol v'huchfu lubot saros, okay? Meaning lots of bad things happen on that day. Now think about that for a second. On a simple level, what does that seem to indicate? It seems to indicate that if only one bad thing happened on the day, so people aren't as affected by it. But if a lot of bad things happen on a certain day, so the Gemara seems to be saying at this point that it's only because lots of bad things happen on a specific day, so then it's in a sense it has like a character of shmud to it, meaning that it's easier for people to be affected by it, and therefore the tinus will function the way it's supposed to function. You understand? In other words, forget Chorban for a second. It's the very fact that lots of bad things happen on this day that it'll have that character of shmud, meaning every year Tisha B'Av in a sense is like a shmud. Because what's going to happen? You're going to think about that day, again at this point, and say, lots of bad things happen on this day. So since lots of bad things happen on this day, not the quality of what happened, okay? It's not because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Huchvulu bot saros. What that literally means is that lots of bad things happen, and since that lots of bad things happen on this day, that's why Tisha B'Av is different. We're going to get to Tosos in a second, okay? Well, yeah, I would say using the Gemara's language, it is a sad day, and you're right, that's what allows Chazal to go ahead and separate Tisha B'Av. That's why they can introduce Avelis and other things to it, okay? But I'm just saying at this point in the Gemara seems to be saying that Huchvul Levatzaras, we treat, we treat Tisha B'Av differently because of Huchvul Levatzaras, okay? So why should that make a difference? Why should that make a difference? So hold on. I'm sorry, I'm skipping through some of these sources. Just, Here. Look at Tosos over here, okay? Tosos is a very, this is a very fascinating Tosos. Tosos says, hold the Huchvul Levatzaras. Tosos says, 1 second. B'yom Shivas Arbatamos Nami Ira Chamisha Dvarim. Right, but 1 second. We see from the Gemara Bavli that that bad things happen on Shivas Arbatamos also, meaning that it's not enough to say that that it's because a lot of things happen on a specific day. That's why it's a permanent fast day. I would say that on Shivas Arbatamos the same thing happened as well. You had lots of bad things happen on the day also. So lots of bad things happening on a day is not enough of a reason to go ahead and say that, should be different, because in Shivas Arbatamos should be treated differently as well. So the Gemara says, so Tosfos says no. He says two answers. He says, Aval Chorban Beis HaMikdash Tkifa Tuva. Okay, so one answer is that the Chorban Beis HaMikdash is worse, okay? And then the other answer is Ve'od Lo Dami LeTisha B'Av Ditzara Achas Huchfulu Bo. Or you could say that Tisha B'Av is different because it's one Tzara, okay, that was doubled. Okay, so what's Tosfos, what's really bothering Tosfos here? Okay, what's bothering Tosfos? What, it's a very sneaky type of answer. What's he trying to do? Okay, what's he trying to do here? In other words, what's really bothering him? In other words, obviously, we want to say the easy answer is that Chorban Beis HaMikdash, right, is Tekifa Tuva, which means it's qualitatively different. But you can't just say that because it's not enough for it to be qualitatively different, because if it's just qualitatively different, then that should that event alone should have been enough to make Tisha B'Av different. The Gemara could have just said, not Huchvul Levo Tzaras, but rather just say that what? That the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that should be sufficient. It's a very subtle point. That's not what the Gemara is saying. So what's the Gemara saying, according to Tosfos? In other words, what does Huchvul Levo Tzaras mean? There's two logical possibilities how to understand Huchvul Levo Tzaras. That's what the Gemara is trying to, and that's what Tosfos is trying to focus on. What does it mean to say Huchvul Levo Tzaras? You're right, Alex. Either you want to say that this particular tzara was doubled, right? So therefore, it's double commemorative, right? Or you could say, no, there's something about the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed that makes it qualitatively superior. I get that, right? That's true, Ellie, you're right. In other words, even in the halachic day, in other words, it's true it's a halachic day of sadness. So therefore, it's always going to be halachically sad. But how do they make it into a halachic day of sadness? You know what I mean? It's interesting. No. Yeah, but God, but Tisha B'Av is not a Doraisa, Eli. It's a Dorabanan. If that were true, then God should have said it's a Chiyuv Doraisa. Well, it's interesting. In other words, there's two ways you can read Huchvul Levo Tzaras, right? In other words, Tosos is trying to figure out what's the emphasis here on Huchvul Levo Tzaras, okay? In other words, is the emphasis on the Tzaras part, meaning that the Tzaras that took place by Tisha B'Av, because you have the Mikdash, right, makes it a higher quality, meaning Mikdash plus these other tzaros makes it now the sad day that Eli wants it to be, right? Or what's the other possibility? Is he emphasizing Huchvulu, meaning that on this day was the only day where the tzaros are really all the same? They're all bad tzaros, right? The Chorban Beis HaMikdash isn't worse than the other tzaros. Rather, it just happens to be that this event happened twice in a row. So from a commemorative aspect, since it happened twice, in other words, twice on this day, that's what makes it different. But notice in that answer, Tosfos is not saying that the Chorban HaBayis is worse. He's just saying the fact that it happened twice has a certain effect on people. Okay? You know what I mean? Yeah, it is quantitative. But it's quantitative in the sense that it is quantitative, but the effect it would have on people, knowing that the same event took place, right, two different times on this day, has a certain impact on a person. You know what I mean? There's a difference there. But Tosfos is actually willing to say at this point, right? He's definitely willing to say that, and certainly his second answer, that it's not that the Chorban is any different. The first answer is saying the Chorban makes it different, but it's insufficient. Notice that in both answers, the Chorban alone is not a sufficient rationale to make Tisha B'Av different. Either you're going to tell me that the Chorban Abayis, right, with these other things makes it different, or is it the fact that this same tragedy happened twice on Tisha B'Av? Okay? Either way, right, according to Tosfos, the Chorban alone is not enough to make Tisha B'Av unique. So what do you see from this point in the Gemara? You see that it's not enough to say that Tisha B'Av is simply the commemoration of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an insufficient answer. Rather that, what would you have to say? That the Chorban is a terrible tragedy, but it can't stand alone. Either it's because it happened to, this same event took place twice, or because with the other bad events, it has a certain quality to it. But either way, it's clear according to Tosfos that the Chorban alone, it's not the Chorban that makes Tisha B'Av different. It's that you have this tremendous amount of tragedies taking place, right? And it's a question of within those tragedies that because there's multiple tragedies, that's what's going to affect people in a certain way. So that's why Chazal were able to take Tisha B'Av and say that every single year people should fast, because you could say they're always going to relate to that day and say that, they're going to relate to that day and say that it's a day that commemorates lots of different tragedies. And that has a certain impact on a person. A person will know, if they know that Tisha B'Av commemorates tragedies A, B, C, D, and E, so then the natural will function as a catalyst for tshuva. So let me just end with one point. What about the fact that, what is this business of, what about today? Okay, what about today? So it's interesting. So the Ramban brings down the Ritva brings down, and others, they want to say that basically what happened was is that, that's true, Ellie. That what happened was is that when it came to the other fast days, that the Rov Am at some point accepted upon themselves, okay, I want to be very clear about this, okay, as a Minog Yisrael to fast, okay? So really, the Ramban brings down, and others bring down, that in during the time Shavuot Sarvatam, some want to say that, what does Rov mean? Well, what does it mean? Excuse me. What does it mean, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu E Misanin? So really, it was up to Beis Din to decide. Meaning Beis Din could actually step in and determine whether or not this year will be a fast day or not. But today, the only reason why we fast in Shavuot Sarva Tammuz, and even to some extent, some would argue Tisha B'Av, but certainly Shavuot Sarva Tammuz, is because, what do you call it? It's that the Rov Am accepted upon ourselves to always fast on Shavuot Sarva Tammuz. But that means the reason why we fast on the other fast days today is a Minhag Yisrael reason. It was never Misakim by Chazal that we still fast today. Abigail, the reason it's not an emotional state. In other words, we need the fast to work. Chazal can't impose this type of fast day on people, okay? For people to go ahead and fast if it's not going to work. It won't function that way because people won't relate to it that way. If it's a Yom Shel Simcha, it shouldn't be shouldn't be on a fast. You mean today? Ellie, you mean today? Why is it a Yom Shel Simcha today? Oh, you mean because of sovereignty? Yes. Yes. It's a phenomenal question. When I left, I agree. When I went through this, I said to myself, interesting, according to Rashi, we're in a time of shalom, right? And I don't care the fact that the majority of the Jewish people accepted upon themselves as a minog to fast, right? But why should that override the fact that we're in a time of simcha? That's a phenomenal question. That's a very good question. You know what I mean when I say that, right? The Rambam, by the way, I don't want to bring the Rambam in, but the Rambam wanted to say that, the Rambam wanted to say that he treats this as a tainus yachid, meaning he does say in the Yad that, you know, people that accepted upon themselves to do Shavuot Sarva Tammuz, but in the Perish Mishnayos, he seems to imply that really they have the status of tainus yachid. Meaning, really, it is up to the person to determine whether they want to fast on Shavuot Sarva Tammuz or not. Okay? It is an interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. The other thing also, by the way, one other point, just to end off with this, is that the Ritva comes out and says that Tisha B'Av really has a different status, like Eli was saying, it's like a sad day. And that's what allows Chazal to now add in all those Minhagi Avelis, right? But the Ritva wants to tell us, really, what you should have said is that every fast day should have those qualities to it, right? That you do on Tisha B'Av. But in order to demonstrate that these other fast days are really minhag-type fast days, right? He basically says, that's why we don't do all those other things. We just have an Isra, Achil, and Shasia. You understand? That's why, that's to demonstrate that they're different, okay? But really, you should have done those as well. I mean, if they're true tainus, then we should do those as well. So it's interesting today, it's a very good question today, what gives these other fast days outside of Tisha B'Av their status, since we're not in a time of Shmud? And I want to say that Tisha B'Av has in it that character of being that sad day, of being like a Shmud type day. It's a very good question today, why we should still fast on Shavuot, Arba Tammuz, and those other days, especially since it seems like we go like a corner Rashi. Okay, yeah.